Greetings and welcome to another edition of AUHSD Future Talks. I'm your host, Michael Matsuda, the superintendent of the Anaheim Union High School District. And as our 8,000 plus podcast listeners know, this show is dedicated to the future of education for all of our young people, not only across Anaheim Union, but across the state. And today we're going to hear even across the nation. We have some very special guests today. We're excited to talk with youth leaders from the National Healthy Schools Collaborative Youth Council, sponsored by Kaiser Permanente. For the last year, the NHSC Youth Council, made up of 17 students from around the country, with three from our own school district, have been studying how to improve the mental health of students in schools. The youth leaders have developed 15 recommendations for K-12 schools on this important topic. And today we're going to explore some of their great recommendations. We also have Stacy Bretzky, our friend from Kaiser Permanente, a longtime supporter of AUHSD, to tell us why Kaiser Permanente believes it is important to invest in youth and their leadership. The youth leaders today are Alyssa Mudong, a senior at Magnolia High School, Lukman Muhammad, a senior at Oxford Academy, and we hopefully will hear from Michelle Guzman, a junior at Savannah High School. And with a little bit of luck, we might be joined by Sita Bangora, a junior at Todd Beamer High School. Welcome, students, and welcome, Stacy. So before we begin, let's just set the table here for this important discussion. According to Education Week, 42% of high school students reported feeling so sad or hopeless for at least two consecutive weeks in the previous year that they stopped engaging in their usual activities. That was up from 26% in 2009. I also know that 60% of K-12 students are exhibiting a sense of loneliness across America. Girls and LGBTQ plus young people are particularly likely to report these feelings. Thoughts of suicide, suicide attempts, and actual suicides among young people have also risen in that period, with Black children nearly two times more likely than their white peers to die by suicide. Depression and anxiety among young people doubled as the COVID-19 pandemic dragged on. So let's start. I mean, these are really tough figures to digest, but that's what the National Youth Council has done. Alyssa, let's start with you. Where does your interest in student mental health come from? And one recommendation that you felt really important to share.
Yes, of course. So my interest in student mental health stems from observing the challenges many of my friends and classmates face, such as stress and anxiety. High school can be tough, and I noticed the significant impact it has on our overall well-being. So as I am recognizing that mental health is important as much as physical health, I am motivated to contribute to fostering a supportive atmosphere where students can feel at ease discussing their struggles and seeking assistance when necessary. I also witnessed how addressing mental health positively affects a student's academic performance and overall happiness. Serving as communication lead alongside Asita, we have published newsletters and updates of our efforts and progress to spread an awareness of our missions. So for the next part of the question, a recommendation that I find particularly important for improving student mental health is finding better and more accessible resources. Resources for mental health in school systems and campuses. So in order to achieve that, my group and I came to a consensus to balance the number of counselors, social workers, and to provide students with easier access to needed to needed mental health resources, as not everyone has the same story, or some require more support than others to fully feel at ease. It is a recommendation to implement a space for students to safely address their issues with a trusted adult or a friend to have time to focus on their personal health, both mental and physically. Considering the fact that we're also in the information age or the 21st century, I believe utilizing technology will further be a great aid to promoting opportunities, awareness, and establishing online mental health resources students can use to cope when at school and at their home. With these factors possibly being applicable, I believe these actions will improve and find better and more accessible resources for mental health in schools.
Well, that was a mouthful. So what I gleaned from that are, you know, we students need access to resources like Kaiser. They need more support with social workers and counselors. That counselor or social workers really did not exist prior to the as far as working in schools prior to the pandemic. Although AUHSD, we hired social workers prior to the pandemic, and I know that it was funded through the general fund. So this is something I'd like to ensure that we continue to fund through the general fund as we move forward. But the third thing that you had shared is how we use technology through apps and things, and how we can better connect students and families to the services, right? So great recommendations. Lukman, your turn.
Yeah, so my interest in student mental health really stems from more of a personal side. So my family has a history of severe mental health disorders, including the likes of bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, anxiety, and depression. And so because of me internalizing my family's disorders, I've brought that to my school environment in a way I could try to alleviate those problems. And I noticed that because my school is a very academically rigorous school, there's a lot of mental health issues and problems that kind of flourish over there in a way because of the student pressure, the peer pressure, the family pressure, and just the expectations to succeed. So my recommendations have really been more on creating that culture for students really to have a good relationship with their school, so that they feel welcome to come to school and so that they want to actually learn. So I hope that possibly we could do this locally and nationwide to somehow create programs that allow staff to be more inclusive to students' learning environment, learning abilities. Like, for example, if students are neurodivergent, we need to create programs and resources for them specifically. For example, just to make staff more aware and inclusive of student environments, since AUHSD is a very it's consists of minorities. It's heavily minorities in the Asian and Hispanic communities. So I hope possibly we could create some form of a cultural awareness campaigns that specifically target teachers and explaining to them certain cultural practices and religious practices and et cetera on just what culturally is meaningful to students, because students will like an environment that caters towards them and makes them feel inclusive. And kind of lastly, going to school, going to Oxford Academy, I live in South Anaheim and Oxford Academy is in Cyprus. And so I travel a lot and commute a lot of a large distance, about 20, 30 minutes to school every day. So I noticed that really commuting has been a huge issue at my school, really because of a lot of the Latinos and Hispanic minorities have to travel long distances, and other minority groups have to travel long distances to get to what they assume is a better education. And so that can affect their mental health in a lot of ways. And take a toll on their grades. And so hopefully locally and nationwide, we can create programs that help students commute to school, taking some pressure off the kids by creating some form of busing programs or commuting programs.
So really good points, Lukman. And I like the point of trying to push the system to be more inviting and inclusive. And so a question I have a couple questions for you. One is, do you think that teaching like the 5 C's, which is really about emotional and relational intelligence, is not as important as teaching to test scores, AP, pass rates, and all those traditional things? Because oftentimes educators don't see, they see the things like the 5 C's or the soft skills as somehow not as important as test scores. What would you say to those folks?
Well, I would say that education isn't just a black and white thing. It's not just a binary thing. It's something that is holistic. Something that it has multiple factors, and it can't just be weighted on one specific thing. If people were as simple as maybe a machine, then probably we would just be measuring people based off their test scores. But humans are more complex than that, and humans are way more just not only complex but just better in a sense than just simple machines, right? So their skills and knowledge and wisdom that can't be seen through academic testing. And the 5 C's does a good job of really highlighting what students learn from themselves emotionally, not just academically, and what they can learn from themselves just for their career and for their lives. Because character really is something, and the other 5 C's are like collaboration, communication, or something that are skills that are really needed to be used every day when it comes for students going into a career or going into college. And some of these other skills aren't going to be used as heavily, like testing that we use so frequently in our schools today.
Yeah. Alyssa, do you have anything to add to that discussion about, it's really about pedagogy and approach to teaching and learning.
Yes. I would like to send awareness of like the balances between like rigorous courses and regular courses, because noticing in my campus, I noticed that, or as a student, that's taking like both AP and one regular class, I can see like a huge difference between the environment and I guess like the coursework and I guess the motivation between the two classes. So I believe that students in regular classes or like teachers teaching, I believe that they just set possibly like higher expectations or provide like the same support like how AP teachers would, such as like, I don't know, giving them potential or like showing that like they're like, they feel welcome in their classroom, so they can feel more motivated to be involved in their classwork and possibly being aware of their community as well.
Mm-hmm. So Lukman, what would be specific things that you would recommend for teachers to make them content more engaging?
The specific things I would say is really just to implement project-based learning into their curriculum and education, because I keep on repeating this, but in the career, you're not given a test, you're given a project to work on, right?
Yeah.
That's a skill that students really need to understand how to use, and that they'll learn more from doing a project than just sitting on their chair learning how to bubble in certain answers, right? And just also kind of just learning more about just that emotional aspect and emotional intelligence, because that's something that's very important especially when working with other people to get to a common goal, to get to complete a project that like we've done, like the 17 students on the National Healthy Schools Collaborative have been trying to do and are doing. So just working more on skills that aren't so hard in terms of just academic rigor.
What, you know, in your short time that you've been part of this national council, what are some of your takeaways and what advice would you give to the sponsors, Kaiser, you know, who generously sponsored this program?
So one of my primary takeaways has really just been, just hope that we are doing a good job, that we are, or even if we're not doing the best we can or doing, we're not doing it perfectly. We're trying to chip at the block, essentially.
So what you're talking about, and Alyssa, feel free to answer, but you're talking about resilience, right? Because your generation, the post-pandemic generation, has been branded as sort of this lost generation, that you have learning loss, that you are 10 years behind in math now or whatever. And how do you respond to that? And basically Luqman's point about this program
that
really trying to cultivate hope in people. I don't know, Luqman, if you heard that question, but I was trying to, you're talking about hope, I think. And Alyssa, feel free to respond to that. You know, how people look at your generation and say, well, you're the lost generation, a lot of learning loss. And Luqman, your point is so poignant about, you know, we need to cultivate hope with young people. Because some people are almost saying, hey, your generation is the lost generation.
I mean, at least how I would respond to that is just that in many ways, every generation has been looked at as the lost generation. But every generation ends up dealing with the circumstances that come with their generation, whether the silent generation, they had to deal with World War II and the aftermath of that. And we're dealing with this new technological revolution and AI revolution that we've never seen before. And a lot of times we can't look back to history to figure out our solutions to issues, but we'll figure out, and we can, as long as we have a positive of mindset and a willingness to really change our system, we can accomplish great things.
You know, Alyssa, I find that your generation is the most loving and compassionate, because part of the fifth C is character and compassion, caring about each other. It's more the adults that have this sense of fear and, you know, otherness. Do you think that there's that if what Kaiser is doing with the National Youth Council truly can lead to something, it is that capturing that energy of compassion and love in your generation and spreading that maybe upward to parents and grandparents to teach them a little bit about hope and love? Do you think there's a possibility of that?
Yes, I would definitely agree to that. And I also believe there is going to be hope, as like currently we're collaborating with Kaiser, and through our work with them, we have plans of like potentially doing like nationwide workshops, if I'm correct. I remember doing that possibly during the summer while doing like talks with the workers over there or the employees. So I believe, I think it might just take a little bit of time, but with that, I think this will be a little bit more situated, and these workshops and opportunities will be applicable for both families and students. So everyone can be self-aware and possibly share this information with those around them.
Any final things to add, Luqman, to that?
Just that our generation, though we may seem like we don't care and just don't want to do anything, we care about issues. We want to help our world and environment and our community. And we'll try our best to do what we can, even if we may be naive or immature or inexperienced at this point in time. We know we'll get there.
Well, I like your suggestion that educators should make education more relevant. You mentioned project-based learning and helping to getting young people to help solve problems and challenges in the world that they face. And I think the more that young people can get involved with that, the more hope that they will have that there is a very healthy future for them. And I'm going to pivot to our friend from Kaiser Permanente, Stacy Boretsky. I'd like to hear, Stacy, why did Kaiser Permanente launch this youth council? And how have the youth impacted the work at Kaiser Permanente?
Yeah, thank you. So the National Healthy Schools Collaborative Youth Council, it's a key equity initiative for Thriving Schools. And Thriving Schools is Kaiser Permanente's national commitment to partnering with schools and districts across the country to support them in creating these safe spaces and creating these healthier environments in schools. So this council really serves as a guide for us and for other national organizations that we partner with to really think about how to build strategy and design interventions to support the mental health of young people across the country. So I can say, you know, for Kaiser Permanente, addressing youth mental health, it's a priority. You know, this is a priority for us. We recognize that young people have experienced a lot over the past few years due to the pandemic, of course. But even before that, we know youth mental health has been impacted by, and we talked about this already, but increased use of, you know, social media, technology. There's been, you know, gun violence in schools, you know, overall societal pressures, just a lot. And really, the students are the only stakeholder group that has that lived experience in this learning environment. So they really must be that partner in developing, you know, the policy priorities, those plans to really make an impact. Because, you know, they know best that this is their experience. And I think also just around youth voice, it really plays a critical role in making sure organizations like Kaiser Permanente have a realistic and accurate understanding of young people's viewpoints, and that we're really engaging them. And I think, you know, I can speak for everyone at Kaiser when I say that we're just so inspired by the work that the council has already done in such a short time period. In addition to writing and publishing these recommendations that are, you know, really comprehensive and actionable, they've also presented these recommendations in a variety of national forums already. So one example of that, we have a Healthy Schools Community of Practice that Kaiser Permanente hosts that brings together district leaders from across five of our KP markets. They presented to those leaders, and there was an opportunity for some brainstorming and some discussion amongst those leaders of what they heard and what maybe they could bring to their districts. And then more recently, the council helped to inform some strategy development that we have underway for some new work streams around youth mental health. So we have some focus groups, and the youth council has been engaged in those and really putting forth their, you know, ideas and activities and things that we should be incorporating into this work as we think about where we're going to invest our resources and energy as we try to tackle this with their support. So, you know, we're just truly grateful for their contributions. And, you know, we know that it really is going to take us working together to ensure that the school environment really becomes a place where students have that support that they need to thrive. So just really excited.
Wow, that's awesome. And, you know, on behalf of the district, Stacy, and I'm sure all of the districts that have been impacted by the work of the Youth Council, thanks to you, Kaiser Permanente, and you for giving us all hope. And Luqman and Melissa and all the students that have been involved in this. You guys are truly amazing young leaders, and we are grateful to you for your time and effort and commitment to help build a better world for our young people. So thank you very much.